I'm not exactly sure how you follow that, but... All right. Isn't it neat, though, to have that kind of talent? I just told them, I said, I was just impressed they even took that on. And they spent a lot of time working on that, and just I thought it came off wonderful. Well, as we said, Merry Christmas. I love Christmas. Christmas is probably my favorite holiday time of the year. Christmas is too huge not to address with a message, but one of the things I struggle with every year is how do you make a story that's been told over and over and over, how do you make it fresh? How do you step back and look at it anew and in a way perhaps that you haven't looked at it before, and but yet still capture the essence of what it is? And I don't know that today we're going to hear anything new, but I did have one idea. Seems like it's kind of going with the times and things that are going on. And so I thought about actually approaching it this way. Start with dramatic music and things going on, and then with a deep voice say, a long time ago in a Galilee far, far away. Seemed like that's kind of going on. We went Christmas shopping this week, and I mean, you can't go anywhere without seeing Star Wars this and Star Wars that, there's something even more dramatic than that, because, you know, I say that a little bit in jest, but yet at the same time that it was a long time ago that an incredible event, an event of galactic proportions took place. And Christmas means a lot of things to a lot of different people, but the truth is, as I was thinking this week, everybody does something with Christmas. It is not something that's just left on the sidelines. It's not something that is not dealt with. Everybody does something with it. Some want to debate it. You know, and we all hear that, you know, right now there's kind of a war against Christmas. And I just applaud every place I see that actually says we're going to be closed on Christmas Day. I just applaud that. Every person that actually makes a point to say Merry Christmas, I applaud that. And every time somebody says to me, Happy Holidays, I always come back, well, Merry Christmas to you, you know. So some want to debate it, and I realize that it's probably December 25th is not probably actually, it's actually probably not probably actually his birthday. But in a sense, it is his birthday in the fact that it is the day that we have set aside to reflect on what that birth actually means. And so to me, why debate all that? This is the one time of the year that people's attention, whether they like it or not, even if they're against it, that people's attention is kind of at least somewhat turned to that manger scene. And whether it's in a positive or negative way, everybody acknowledges what the day is. Some people see it as a time of shopping and spending, a time of family, traveling, entertaining, and even some look at it as a time, an excuse to drink. I was driving down the road the other day and heard a commercial that they were doing a variation of the 12 days of Christmas, and they worked in every kind of alcoholic beverage you could think of during that. And I thought, wow, what is that really what that means to you? But to others, like us, it's a time to reflect on the greatest story of all time. I mean, think about it. How is there any other story that is greater than this story? And I really thought this week, how do you communicate the real meaning of Christmas? What message should it convey to every one of us? And how do we explain it in just a few words? While it may not be earth-shattering news to you this morning, it may not be nothing new to you, it still, however, is earth-redeeming, eternity-changing, bondage-shattering news. Third Day released a song a couple of years ago that quickly became one of my favorites because I love the essence of the song. And the song is this: I want to feel Christmas like a child. Remember the awe that you had of Christmas when you were young? The idea, I remember as a kid that I I couldn't wait. I remember the Christmas morning laying in bed, and boy, I mean, the second the first hit of light began to come through my window, it was time to get up and go wake up Mom and Dad and say, hey, let's go see what's under the tree. And sure, the presence was a great part of it, but at the same time, in my family, we always made it a point. I remember my dad cracking the Bible open, and before we could open any of the presents, the real Christmas story was read. You know, so I thought this week, how do you take the best, and I really thought, you know what, I'm going to take the best known holiday of all and combine it with the best known scripture of all, and you get today's title, God So Loved, He Gave. To me, that's the greatest essence of the whole thing, that God so loved, He gave. What did He give us? He gave us the greatest gift of all. He gave us salvation. I love this passage, and most of us could probably quote it in our sleep, but it still doesn't change the essence of what it is. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. Whoever believes in Him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the thing, as I said earlier, this is the thing that causes Christianity to stand out from all other religions. Every other religion, you've got to somehow earn your way to a reward. If you blow up enough people, you get to make it heaven. Did I say that out loud? If you live a great enough life and you don't come back as something lesser, you can eventually come back as something better and maybe make your way and become one with the universe. And there's all these things that are out there, and people try to make a statement. They try to say that somehow we're all worshiping the same thing. It all leads to the same place, but their God and my God are not the same, because my God loved me so much that He gave. He gave me a chance. He gave us a chance. You know, no one can outdo what God has done. No one could give a greater gift than God has already given. To me, it's a crime that our society wants to hide or cover up the greatest event in our history. That somehow this little planet on the outskirts of the Milky Way galaxy became the focal point of the universe. An event that God Himself put on the greatest advertising campaign the world has ever seen. The whole universe, it seems, was wound up with this point in time in mind. So what is this thing that we call Christmas? You know, Pastor Nate hinted to it that even these wise men that didn't necessarily serve God understood that they understood enough about the universe to realize that the whole universe was kind of tuned and wound up so that everything fell in place at the right time to announce this birth. That's an advertising campaign, amen? We need to remember it was a holy birth. This birth was an event with so much around it that defies logic. So obviously people try to find their way to explain it away because it defies earthly logic. I mean, the whole idea of a baby being born of a virgin blows people's minds. So they try to say, unfortunately, we have too many even churches or denominations trying to say, well, it wasn't actually that way, and they try to explain around it, but that does not change the fact. Scripture backs it up. You know, but it is something that is not logical. Even Mary herself asked when the angel told her that she was going to be with child, her response was, how can this be? But I love the response of the angel when he said, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. See, the angel encouraged even Joseph when Joseph struggled with the idea of marrying and Mary and the whole idea of could this be true? Could what she be saying is true? And the angel shows up to Joseph even and says, what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. Matthew states later on that Mary was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Galatians 4:4 also teaches the virgin birth when it says, God sent his son born of a woman. From these passages, it is clear that Jesus' birth was a result of the Holy Spirit doing a work within Mary's body. It was something supernatural. This baby was the perfect Savior because he was the perfect union between earthly flesh and the divine. That makes him unique. Not some demagogue in mythology or anything like that, but in actual reality, God clothed himself in flesh and was born in the most humble of circumstances. But it was a heralded birth nonetheless. As I said, God put on quite an advertising campaign. You couldn't have planned it any better if you'd hired the best advertising agency in the universe. Think about it. Think back to, I kind of joked about Star Wars earlier. Just think about all the advertising blitz that has gone on. I mean, think about leading up to this movie, you'd see little things strategically released just to give people a little taste, or a little picture would pop out that was supposedly leaked, you know, from the set or the internet and all this stuff. And the whole idea is just to whet appetites. That's not new. God strategically leaked hints about this birth for centuries upon centuries before it took place. At the very point that how many times did different prophets say, there is coming a day that a Redeemer will be born. But not to mention that, he put on the greatest light show of all time. He had the celebrity endorsements. The most popular prophets of all foretold of this event coming. And even the angels got involved. Can you imagine how much there was so much anticipation of this birth that even the angels were caught up in it? Can you imagine them waiting for a long time for this thing, knowing that it was coming, knowing this prophet, being an angel, actually having watched a third of your ranks fall in a failed rebellion, knowing that the day was coming there was going to be a Redeemer that would be born. And that God was going to create man in his image, even when man fell, that there was going to be an opportunity for that. And yet in a plan of extreme sacrifice and love, a way of restoration was given. Even when the punishment was being poured out to or laid out to Adam and to Eve, what did God say to Eve? He said, but your offspring will one day crush the serpent's head. For thousands of years, this day was heralded. And can you imagine the angels waiting for this day? The angels knowing it was coming, the anticipation that one day it was going to happen, and seeing the process, knowing now, looking down from their position in heaven and seeing Mary being with child and seeing things happen and just being on call. I don't know what it was like in heaven, but I know that one year we did a Christmas play that we had kids dressed up as angels, and part of this, one of the scenes that we had set up was angels there, and they're ready. And when they found out that they were going to get to be part of the detail that went down to announce his birth to the world, they were excited. So I can almost see God going through and saying, you know what, I need you, 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 you. And going down the list and saying, you're going to get to go announce the birth of my son. What a moment that must have been for them. But they would get to make this holy announcement. This advertising campaign included all the demographics. You know, when they come out with something, I guarantee you, there was a panel that was put together to see how is the best way to advertise this Star Wars movie to all the different age groups and all the people, how to best make sure to pull all this stuff. Well, God already had that. God wanted to make sure all the demographics were covered. Shepherds, all the way up to kings. The Zacharias, the Elizabeths, the Anna, Simeons, shepherds, wise men, they were all included. But then there's the shepherds. What a thought that this announcement would be made to lowly shepherds. Think about it. It's the only ones we have recorded in Scripture that received a direct invitation to his birth. The wise men followed the star. Other people knew what was going on, but they got a direct invitation from the angels to his birth. They weren't royalty. They were social outcasts. They were wanderers. Lived on the outskirts of society. Even this day, you can go and you'll see that on the outskirts and the hills and among even sand dunes and rocky places, you see little thrown together huts where people are, those that are the shepherds are still living very much the way that they used to live. The only difference is you'll see them herding sheep and with their sticks talking on a cell phone. But they're still very much the outcasts. You know, nobody in that day would have said, oh man, we're so excited. We've got six shepherds coming to our party. They were the outcasts. They were the ones that were blamed many times for crimes. It was easy to say, well, it must have been one of those shepherds that wandered through that did that. Their testimony, it is understood, their testimony was not regarded very highly. That if you needed multiple shepherds to stand up to one person of noble birth's testimony in court. But God chose to declare his birth to shepherds. Wise men, Nate already talked about them a little bit, but they were wise enough to put it all together that somehow they knew just from watching the heavens that something supernatural was happening. That in a sense the universe was tuned and wound at that moment. And I know there's been all kinds of speculations on all kinds of ways that the star came about. You can find all kinds of theories out there. All we know is that it's true. I've seen people try to explain it away, but years ago I saw where they actually found a coin from Herod's time. And on this coin, there's a ram that is jumping, and it was a symbol that Herod used, but at the same time, this ram is jumping on this coin. Up in the corner of the top right portion of the coin was this huge star, and the ram is actually looking over his shoulder to the star. So it was even commemorated in currency. These guys saw the star. They knew what it meant. They went on a long journey. They took the time to pack thoughtful gifts. And they came prepared to worship. It was a meager birth. One way below the station of who it was that was born. John 1:1 tells us that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. That's a high and lofty position, yet he was born as a little baby. He was there from the beginning. He traded his heavenly seat to walk this earth. Yet on this very night, the very world he created had no room for him. A stable in place of a palace, a manger in place of royal bedding. Why? It was a humble birth. It was a sacrificial birth. He was born to lay down his life. Seems like such a waste. Why? Because Abraham was right when he said to Isaac years ago, God will provide the lamb. You see why? Simple. For God so loved. There's such power in that statement. God so loved. What does John say? John says, greater love has no one than this, that he will lay down his life for his friends. You know, people make special effort during this time to perhaps be a little kinder than normal. And I realize Black Friday's kind of excluded from that. But for the most part, people try to be a little kinder, a little more considerate of others, a little more generous during this time, during the Christmas season. They get involved in things that like Christmas caroling or toys for needy people or meals for the misfortunate, et cetera. I know a good group of ours went and helped Dallas Metro do some things in the inner city and all those things. But it just goes to show greater love as knowing this. And yet there's somehow that love just kind of spreads even during the season. Even people perhaps that normally wouldn't. I was watching the other night, just Kim was finishing some stuff up, and I was like, you know, okay, I'm done. I'm going to bed. And so I went in there and I turned on the TV in her bedroom for a little bit. And there's a little show that I like to, if I'm just looking for something for just a few minutes, just to kind of give me the point where, you know, kind of a lower monotone voice just kind of makes me drift off. And that's, you know, there's a little show I turn it on occasionally called Mysteries of the Museum. It's on the History Channel. And what they do is they basically, it's little short stories, but they take little things from history that's in museums around the world, and they pull out little items, and they tell the story behind that item. And this particular one caught my attention because it was, they pulled out this old leather soccer ball. Now, not spotted like we have today, but there's this brown, sewn-together soccer ball that was in the museum. Doesn't look like much. You can tell it's very, very old. But they begin to tell the story of how that this soccer ball has an attachment to World War I. Actually, Christmas time at World War I. And so you had the armies divided on each side down in the trenches, and they'd been shooting at each other and throwing hand grenades, and occasionally one side would try to rush the other and get mowed down out in the no man's land. If you know history, you know how World War I was fought. But all of a sudden, just to show how this holiday that people try to say is nothing special even affected the war and two sides that hated each other in World War I, because it was Christmas Day. The Christmas Day dawned on that day, and for whatever reason, nobody in that area wanted to fire a shot. All of a sudden, without anybody saying anything being declared, all shooting ceased. After a bit of time, one of the guys from the English side got up and began to walk out into the middle, which would have been a crazy, crazy thing to do. But nobody fired a shot. Pretty soon, somebody from the German side came out. And next thing you know, there's a group of from both sides standing out in the middle of no man's land there during World War I, and they began to exchange things they had with each other. And even though they couldn't understand everything that was said, they began to interact. And somehow, somebody found this soccer ball. Somebody had this soccer ball. And the next thing you know, out in the middle of no man's land, it was the English against the Germans in a game of pickup soccer right there. And they had this day of playing together and sharing what they had and exchanging things. And as the day began to wind down, they kind of made their way back to their places. And somebody on the English side raised a flag that was handwritten on white cloth that said, Merry Christmas. And someone on the other side raised a flag that said, Thank you. And the sun went down, and the next morning it was back to shooting at each other. But I thought, what is it about that day that for a moment, even the celebration of Christmas stopped a war? See, it's time for reaching out to others. For God so loved the world. Let us never forget that. In all of our preaching and teaching and evangelizing, everything they do, let's always remember the motivation for what God did was simply this. It was love for lost sinners. It demonstrates the fact that God truly loves us. He really cares about us. So shouldn't we care how much that he cares? Shouldn't we love others? Shouldn't we share what the good news that he's given us? Because he loved us so much, and I love this part, that he gave. For God so loved the world that he gave. You see, love can't look at indifference on the hungry and the sick and the lonely lost souls of this world. True love must give. If you really love somebody, you will give in some fashion. God gave really all that he could give. He gave his only son. This gift was freely given. It was lovingly given. It was graciously given to all of us. And those of us who are undeserving, is not a gift that we deserve. You ever gotten some extravagant gift that you just look at it and somebody blesses you with something, and you go, there's no way I deserve this, and you almost want to say, no, I can't. But yeah, you look at the person and they're obviously joyed to do this out of love. And God did that for us. Christ shared a human nature that we might receive his divine nature. Day by day, those who receive him are being transformed. They're being washed in the blood of the Lamb. They're being changed. So to me, it's fitting that we exchange gifts. Yes, I hate the commercialization of all this, but there's just something about when you give that gift, because I love giving gifts to people that I love and care for. I love being able to say, you know what? You mean enough to me that I got this for you. What does that say about Christ's love for us? That he allowed his son to be born as a baby and say, I gave this for you. You know, there's all kinds of things. There's all kinds of debate and talk about where the idea of exchanging gifts on Christmas came from. Some people point back to the 4th century to a guy by the name, he was actually a bishop by the name of St. Nicholas. And that's well documented. Many people believe that it started, you know, when the wise men brought their gifts, and in a sense it kind of did. But I believe the sharing of gifts is symbolic of the connection to the words of Jesus in the Last Supper when he said this, when he said, whatever you did unto the least of these, you did unto me. There's just something about when we exchange. The whole purpose of this is to do this. His whole purpose for giving was to provide our forgiveness. Think about the worst things you've done in your life. Think about the ways that you've messed up, the way you've fallen short. And we could all probably have things we could go back and say, there's this thing that I did, there's this worst thing that I don't want anybody to ever know that I actually did that. We probably all have one of those or two of those or 10 of those or whatever. But to realize that we can be forgiven of those things. He's willing to show us mercy and love and to cast those things aside. So how can we not have a forgiving spirit? How can we look judgmentally on somebody else when we've been forgiven of so much? You see, there's a little more powerful than forgiveness. And if this Christmas, if there's somebody that you struggle with to forgive, that would be the greatest gift you could give, is forgiveness. See, the fact is, Christ came to offer us a status change. We live in a time of social media and all those things, and you can create quite a stir if you make a little status change on your Facebook page. I even thought I never would have done it because I would have gotten all kinds of trouble. But I thought about it as I was working on this message. I thought, what if I went to my Facebook page and I changed my status to single? I wonder how much of a stir that would have created before as I walked in on Sunday morning. See who was paying attention.
I wouldn't want
to see that. No. Wisdom prevailed and I didn't. But the fact is that Christ came to offer us a status change from lost to redeemed. See, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. He makes us new creatures. He gives us new goals, new ideas, new direction, new purpose. He actually gives us a purpose in life. I don't understand how people live life without Christ, because I can't imagine a life where I'm just meandering around, just existing and just going from one thing to have a few moments of pleasure to another thing to a few moments of pleasure without any purpose in life. I love the idea that I can get up in the morning and my life has a purpose. My life has a meaning, that there is something that I can accomplish that's going to last far beyond me walking this earth. He makes us new creatures. He moves us from no hope to a new hope. You see, that's worth rejoicing over. What did Jesus say to his disciples? He says, however, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Rejoice in God's unmerited grace. Rejoicing in the release of his forgiveness. Rejoicing in our new life and our new mission, our new purpose. You know, this morning I've tried to share with you what Christmas means to me. And it means that Christ coming to be a Savior. I mean, it means that we is our Lord and Savior. It means that all of a sudden that my name is now written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I'm thinking Life Book is better than Facebook. The idea that when I get there, I don't know what it looks like, but I picture in my mind just this huge book. And you get there, it opens up. Isn't it going to be great to see your name written down in that book? How sad it'll be, though, if that name's not written down. See, he loves us that much. The question is, have you received him as your Lord and Savior? Have you redeemed your voucher for personal redemption? What child is this? It's simple. It's a child that the universe is tuned to his time. Our time is even divided. You know, people say that he was just another figure. This is all messes up. It sure is funny how that we even mark time on this planet by his birth. The term AD means Anno Domini, is the year of our Lord. Each of us, though, is the innkeeper of our own heart. When he knocks, do we say, there's no room? Or is there room? What gift can we bring to him? It's simple. An open heart to receive. He loves us that much. This morning, if we could have every head bowed for just a moment. I think you'd be wrong if we talked about this gift. Looking around the room this morning for the early service, I kind of feel fairly confident. I know the status of everybody in this room. But I think it'd be wrong to talk about what Christ has done without offering an opportunity, just in case there's somebody here that for whatever reason you've never opened up your heart and said, there's room in my heart for you. Come into my life. So if you're here this morning and somehow just the discussion of Christ's birth and what he came to do stirred something inside of you, and you say, you know what, I haven't truly yielded to him. I've never asked him into my life. Or perhaps you have, but you've kind of let the cares of this world kind of crowd out what he wants to do in your life. You just kind of raise your hand where you're at and say, just pray for me this morning. Anybody? Anybody at all? Not seeing any movement this morning in that direction, I'm going to trust that to mean that everybody here is great with their relationship with Christ. And I'm thankful for that. I just want to pray a Christmas blessing over you this morning if I could. Father, I lift each and every person up. Lord, this morning we just kind of looked and we reflected back on your birth and what you've done for us. The price you paid. Lord, I don't lose the awe of just the fact that you would leave heaven and be born of a woman for the purpose of redeeming my soul. Lord, I'm so thankful for that. Lord, I pray as we go through our busyness of this Christmas season and the family and the get-togethers and all the things that we do, let us remember the real reason for the season and honor and glorify you that a long time ago you laid down, you were born on this earth, you walked among us, and you laid down your life for our redemption. Lord, I thank you for that. And Lord, to that I say Merry Christmas in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless.